Now we hear about how government land development plans in Ethiopia are being met by protests, protests which are being called some of the most violent to hit the country since the governing party came to power in 1991. The Ethiopian government and human rights observers disagree about just how many deaths have occurred. Human Rights Watch says as many as 75 people have been killed in confrontations, whereas the government acknowledges only 5. What's at stake is land in the Oromia region, home to the country's largest ethnic group. They are disturbed about expansion plans for Addis Ababa, the capital. All this happens as Ethiopia is facing its biggest potential food insecurity crisis in 30 years. NPR's Gregory Warner is here on the line with us to tell us about it. Gregory, what's happening?
Well, Michelle, just to start with the big picture here. So the world's population is growing. There's a big push for food and farmland, and something like 60% of available arable land is in Africa. So in Ethiopia, the government has been leasing these large parcels of land to foreign investors from China and India and the Middle East. Now, the government can do this. It owns all the land in Ethiopia. But critics call it land grabbing. They say that people are being displaced from their ancestral lands. There's a big ethnic component as well in terms of who's affected. And so these latest protests began last month over a forest that was being cleared for a private development. Since then, they've spread to many towns in the region called Oromia, which is home to the Oromo ethnic group, and become more than just about land grabbing, but about a lot of issues particular to this group.
All over the region, there are protests around land use. What are some of the factors that make this different?
Well, a few things. It's not just students, first of all. It's also farmers and civilians. Doctors and nurses are apparently taking part. And there's also been some violence in the protests. Police stations have been torched and some foreign-owned farms have been looted. But the really big difference is the government's military response. So instead of leaving the regional police to handle this, they've sent in the anti-terrorism task force, and the military has reportedly fired live rounds into groups of protesters, increasing the death toll, though the government does dispute that.
Human Rights Watch, in fact, is warning of the rapidly rising risk of greater bloodshed. Is there a concern that this could escalate into what, an armed uprising, some sort of a civil war?
I mean, Ethiopia has an extremely robust military and intelligence operation that's very well financed and very sophisticated. Something like an Arab Spring, an armed revolt, is exactly what the government is afraid of. It often talks about the danger of this. It's imprisoned journalists even for discussing this. The whole response to these protests have been, in the rhetoric and in the actions, as if battling an ethnic separatist revolution. And so the more the government alienates this ethnic group, which is the largest ethnic group in Ethiopia, it's 35%, the more unpredictable the outcome.
Before we let you go, Ethiopia is also facing a food shortage. And apparently, this is more serious than at any time in the last 30 years. Why is that? And is that a factor in this, in your view?
Sure. The government's warning that 10 million people could be affected. And this has to do with climate change and El Nino. But many millions of those people that could be affected are in the Oromia region. And that could certainly exacerbate tensions. Let's keep in mind that the last big famine in 1984 was credited with bringing down a government.
That's NPR's East Africa correspondent Gregory Warner joining us from Kenya. Gregory, thank you.
Thanks, Michelle.